Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Hello, everybody. I think they missed you too, Adam. For those who don't know, I've been away for about 2 weeks, but one Sunday in the middle, and Pastor Adam joined me midweek. So we have missed Bundaberg. The city is overrated, traffic is annoying, the food is pretty good in Bundaberg. It's pretty good on the Gold Coast too, so I can't compare that one, but I was dying because I missed my puppy, I mean Roman. And I'm home to kiss both of your faces, but hey, we had a great time away. I'm part of the team organising our Movements conference at the moment in July. So I was there filming all the original members of the church, the INC founding members, and creating some beautiful footage for our conference coming up. Then we had a friend's wedding, and then we had a couple of days intensive training at a pastor's retreat, which was mind-blowing. Honestly, I can't even say what the Lord is doing across the churches in our nation, but also the prophetic words that came towards Adam and I in this house is significant, and we will, you know, go on to share some stuff over the couple of weeks. We're just blown away with what God's doing and what He is setting up in our midst in this city. And so anyway, missed you so much. Before we get into the word, I do want to thank our team. Can we thank our leadership team who held the fort while we were away? Thank you for everyone who held it all together last week. You are more than able. I don't even know if you needed us back. We watched on the stream, trying to watch everything. We're actually at Elevation Church in the Gold Coast, but it was secretly on my lap because all I wanted to see was Jono preaching and who was unsung leading, and a couple of people around us were laughing as they saw you on our laps. We could not look in and see what you're doing. But before I bring the word this morning, I do want to give one more announcement, and that is that we are going to start a play group next term, okay? And I've got a slide here. The beautiful Sarah Dorries is going to be leading this group. She is here this morning. So exciting. Where are you, Sarah? Is she probably in the mother's room with a baby? She is. There she is. There she's at the back waving from the door. Hello, gorgeous. In a gorgeous dress. And I just want to pitch the vision. Playgroups are a significant time in your life when you're a young mum in this season. And it's really important that young mums can come together because they're navigating a whole heap of things that are new, things that are hard, and they just need the community around them to support them, love on them, engage with them. And so it's really cool if the church can open a playgroup that's not cliquey, that doesn't bag their husbands and their families out, that gets together and celebrates motherhood, celebrates community and womanhood. And so we want to be the light on the hill that does that at City Coast. And so we're going to start a playgroup. And I actually believe it can be a significant playgroup in this city. We're going to try and attach it to our cafe, which means the girls are going to come for a coffee and play. And we're going to utilize the resources that God has given us at this house. And so Sarah has said, yes, I'm excited to lead this, but she's going to need more girls. And so on the screen, you'll see we're looking for a launch team. Maybe you're not even in the seasons of young mum, but maybe you could be a cuddle mum. And that's also a significant role so that the mums can have a minute to connect. Maybe you come and you cuddle the babies. I reckon that's a good deal, right? You cuddle the babies and give them a minute. Or maybe you can jump on the coffee and you can serve the women of our city and giving them, you know, the beautiful blessing of that, or make some whatever in the cafe. And so I just want to put the seed out there. We do have a goal of launching it next term, but we need hands and feet. And so come and see me or the hub or Sarah after the service, and let's reach into a significant season in our city. Is that cool? Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, today is Palm Sunday. And for those who aren't familiar with the meaning of this day, I want to show you a clip as I explain, and it's just going to come on in the background. Just to give you a visual, if you're unfamiliar with it, Palm Sunday commemorates when Jesus entered Jerusalem and was greeted by people waving palm branches and laying them down before him. Palm Sunday serves as a reminder of the celebration is what is called Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem is mentioned in each of the four Gospels. Did you know that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus entered the city knowing he was about to be tried and crucified. Okay, so this is a big day. And Palm Sunday marks the beginning of what they call the Holy Week, which is the remembrance of Jesus' last days. Cool? Yeah. That is what Palm Sunday is. And that's the clip. That's just to give you a visual of it. But I want to jump straight into John 12, 12. Can we go there this morning? And this is called Jesus Comes to Jerusalem as the King. Yeah. Let me read it to you. The next day, the crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Can I just pray for you this morning before we get into this? Father, I thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you for this significant day, Jesus, on the Christian calendar, that we take a minute to pause and remember the significant week that led to your crucifixion and then your resurrection, Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, that the word of God comes through me, comes through the Bible today, Jesus, and that you ignite revelation and transformation in our life. In the name of Jesus, the church said,
amen.
Awesome. So here we are in Jerusalem, and a massive crowd has gathered. They'd heard all about Jesus' miracles, and they wanted to see him, and they wanted to celebrate him. And I reckon if I attended that kind of thing right now, where the king was coming, everything would be out. All the bells and whistles. We're talking red carpet, the carriages, the feast. We're talking armored soldiers. We're talking the whole lot. But the gospel in the Old Testament and the Testament tells us that Jesus arrived on a lowly donkey. Yeah. Instead of a red carpet, he got palm trees. So what is with the donkey? And it is a significant meaning. By riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, you may not know this, Jesus was actually fulfilling a prophecy recorded way back in the Old Testament in Zechariah 9. Jesus was demonstrating that he was the king spoken of in Zechariah 9. Let's read this Old Testament passage together. It's in 9 verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." That was the prophecy way ahead of this moment of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And the king that Zechariah had prophesied of was really unique. This prophesied king was one of justice. He was one who was going to bring salvation with him. In addition to this, he was going to be as well very humble and lowly. Furthermore, this king will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion would be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Yeah. This prophecy introduces imagery of a king who is going to reign with justice and peace. And many considered, who is this king that could come and not rule with force, but with humility and peace? Shouldn't Jesus be on a war horse, complemented with an army or a military right behind him as he arrives as king? But he comes to save people from a great danger and does that with humility and peace. He came to save all who would believe in him from sins. And he didn't do it by force. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, the crucifixion. Isn't that huge and unreal? It's unreal. He humbly came into the city to serve and save a city. And we often get quite focused on crucifixion and resurrection, the two major parts of Easter, but often we forget about the lead up to this significant time. And I want to pause today on Palm Sunday and focus on what I believe is a major message of this story. The fact that it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, it is in the all four Gospels. I feel that God wants us to lean in and take something away from the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city. And this morning I believe that this message for us is around humility. The title of my message is Humbly He Came, for those who are taking notes. Humility and humbleness is mentioned many times in the Bible. And so I ask the question, why is it so important for God, from God for us to understand this? And it's super simple. Jesus himself is the nature of humility. Jesus is our example. Throughout his earthly life, he lived a total life of obedience and submission to the Father. The humility of Jesus was not a behavioral thing that he had to learn or something that he manufactured for just public approval. It was a reflection of the state of his heart. Humbly, he came. And Jesus went to great lengths to teach his disciples that humility is the great way to live. It is the way of God's kingdom. This statement, while the Jews expected a conquering king, he came as a servant king. They expected him to come as this overarching, this conquering king that would come. Instead, he came as a servant king, the epitome of humility. That rhymes. The epitome of humility. Do you want to turn that into a rap later? I want to look at Mark 10:41, and here we have two disciples, James and John, and they're sitting here with Jesus and they're chatting and they say to him, so how do we be with you? Can I sit on the left and the right side of you? And what they're talking about is how can they be great? How can they be leader? How can they matter in the kingdom of God? Verse 37, they said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right and the other on your left in glory. They ask Jesus, how do we do this? How do we matter in the kingdom? And so Jesus goes, I better get all the rest of the boys together because this is a big answer to this question. And so verse 41, when the 10 heard about this, the other 10 disciples who weren't there, they became indignant with James and John. They're literally like, I can't believe you asked about you two sitting there without us. And the other 10 come in, they're like ticked off. Okay, we want to be part of this. Verse 42, Jesus called them together. And he said this, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Whoever wants to be great must serve. Yeah. The Bible is full of really clear keys and codes. How to live great. What the answers are to great living, favored living. Whoever wants to be great must serve. And one of the disciples in this room was Peter. And he's sitting there hearing this straight answer, the keys to leading and taking care of people, not lording over them with force or dictatorship, but through humility and love. And so Peter hears this, and later he goes and writes a letter to the church and the elders and to the flock about this exact same thing in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, if you want to turn there. And this is Peter's teachings that he had learned from Jesus in regards to serving with humility. He said this, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Listen to Jacob and Shauna. All of you. And clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Peter had the advantage of walking and listening and talking with Jesus's teaching and his teaching. And so here he is taking all of the teachings and things that he'd heard, and he tells this group who are actually going through persecution at the time, this is how you need to live. The scripture says all of you, whether you have a title or a position or you're part of the flock or your followers, whatever you are, all of you, you must not tolerate pride in the church. Peter is trying to teach the church to be humble, to live a life of humility. Peter wanted to make sure that we are looking different, that we are leading different, that we are loving people around us differently. He wanted us to tap into the grace and favor of Jesus. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Not maybe. Statements like that in the Bible are promises. It's a promise. And this is a character trait. Humility is a character trait that greatly pleases God, one that he highly praises and rewards. Humility is a character quality that is of supreme value in the eyes of God. And the Bible tells us that he blesses, honors, and favors those who are genuinely humble. There's three scriptures, really quick. Psalm 149, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Towards the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Yeah. Humility is a choice. And when we make the choice to serve, to humble ourselves, things will change. Things will shift in your world. Things will shift around you. And one of the things that changes is our language. When we are humble, you stop saying me first, you say you first. Yeah. You decide to do this. Prefer people. Amen. If you can take something away from me today, one little thing that you could lock in, write in your Bible, tattoo on your arm. Prefer people. Yeah. Prefer people above yourself. James said, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but that you are eager to serve. We are eager to serve, not because we have to, but because we want to. That is a shift in the mind, it is a shift in the spirit, and it is a shift in the heart. Not because I have to, but because I want to serve you. Philippians 2, verse 3. A really clear guide. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross. Jesus modeled this. Instead of going around saying, don't you know who I am? Or even better, don't you know who my Father is? The scripture says he did not consider equality with God something to take advantage of. That's cool and rare. That's rare. Instead, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of the servant. You know, in school, there was this thing where you saw the line on tuck shop and you see a friend, you're like, oh, can I cut in? And you're like, they're right at the front and they're about to get their meat pie. And you kind of go up and you're like, oh, can I cut in? And they go, most times, yeah, get behind me. And so you cut in and you get behind them. You see, they were like, you can get ahead, but you cannot get ahead of me. And that is the culture we live in. Well, you can be part of my group, but I'm the leader. You can borrow my clothes, but after I wear it first. Sorry, Charlie. You can come sit with me, but I decide where we sit. I'm excited for you to have kids, but after I have them first. Ooh. that was like a drop, that one. You see, our culture, this is our culture to think like this. But we need to live in a kingdom culture that says you can go before me. In fact, I prefer you go before me. In fact, I prefer you go ahead of me and further than me. That is kingdom culture. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it is thinking about yourself less. It is not about pulling yourself down. It is not making yourself less or insecure or you're not good enough. It's not about thinking of yourself less, but it's about unselfishly wiring that constant you, me, and choosing to prefer people. Yeah. Jesus could have chosen the war horse because he was Jesus. Yeah. He could have. He could have galloped in on the stallion because he wanted to, but he preferred people. His mission was to send a message of humility and peace to the city. Do you send a message of humility and peace to your city? You personally. Do you send a message of peace and humility to the family, to your family? In your workplace, are you known for peace and humility? It's a big question. You know, it's not always about us, right? It's not always about me. The scripture is telling us that we need to value others above ourselves. And Jesus showed us this, and we need to follow this. Jesus did this, and he was God. Amen. If he could do this, we can do this. The scripture earlier asked that we be an example to the flock. That means exemplifying the kingdom way of humility. Who has a friend, you don't have to put your hand up, just nod, who turns every conversation about themselves? Or maybe that's you. Who has a friend who tries to match your stories or experiences with their stories or experiences to like up one on you? Or maybe that's you. Who has that friend who forgets their wallet so they don't have to cover the bill and not serve the table? Or perhaps that's you. When people walk away from you, are they inspired and encouraged? And do they leave thinking better of themselves, feeling like they can do anything or be anything? Or do they leave the conversation with you or the time with you feeling insecure because you have just made yourself sound so impressive? These are heavy questions for a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Awesome. But real. And I'm asking myself as I write this. When you ask somebody, how are they? Do you want to know, or is that a segue for you to tell them how you are? Today, I reflect on Jesus' moment, the day he got the opportunity to ride into town as king. And I would say, you know, for an athlete coming back from the Olympics, you know, when they come in the cars and the town lines the street to celebrate the Olympian who has maybe won a medal, and they're cheering out and they're so proud and they're calling their name, thank you for being amazing. This was this moment for Jesus. And you see, Jesus had recently before this raised Lazarus from the dead. And people wanted to see this Jesus, this Messiah. And so this was Jesus' moment. He was coming in as king, finally to be identified as king. But he chose to lay all personal agenda aside and focus his heart on the mission to fulfill a prophecy, to serve a city, to serve a father, and to prefer people. Humbly. The scripture says this, to clothe yourself with humility. I'm thinking that there are some people in this room today and in our city who are going around underdressed because they are not clothed in humility. Underdressed because they are not clothed in humility. God has called you into new seasons and you are not dressed for the occasion. God is putting you in rooms and positions and opportunities because he loves you and he has a plan for your life, but you left your humility code at home. And so you are unteachable, you're stubborn, you're prideful. And so I wonder why, and then you wonder why you are stuck in this holding position. God is calling you into greatness, church, but he needs you to dress for the occasion. You know, on the weekend, we went to a wedding and I was on the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads. And Adam said to me, if I wear a linen shirt, everyone's going to wear a blazer. If I wear a blazer, everyone's going to wear a linen shirt. You know, that moment where you dress up and everyone's undressed, you undress, they're all... And he was like, oh, it's going to happen to me anyway. I'm going to go with the linen shirt. Everyone wore a blazer, right? But he looked great. And sometimes it's hard to get the dress code right. But God has given us a clear dress code when it comes to living. And yet we go underdressed expecting greatness. We aren't wearing what helps us and what covers us. But you know what we do wear? Is pride. And that guy's got to go. Pride is not invited to the party, church. Pride cannot go with you into your new season. Pride cannot sit with you. Now, as I say these words, this is not in condemnation. I am with you. Joey, pride cannot go with you. If you want to live a life of greatness, Joey, pride cannot go with you into your new season. I'm owning it. This is a heart check this morning. Pride can't go where God wants to lead you. And I'm telling you, if you put on humility, it is going to look good on you. You are going to walk differently. You are going to talk differently. And people are going to start saying there is something different about you. There is something special about you. You are going to start to gain greater respect and credit from people, and doors will open for you. Because God pours favor and grace on the humble. Church, we're just going to catch the mission. We are here to represent Jesus. We are supposed to look like Jesus. The world needs to see Jesus in us. And if the world is going to see Jesus, we need to look differently. We need to sound differently. We can't fight the world's fights. It's not about us and our opinions and our prideful point of view. It's about this, putting God on display. It's about putting God on display. We should be united by the love of Jesus, not divided. And so unified together, there is going to be a level of humility demanded from us. Yeah. We just need to get this right. We do. I don't always have to agree with you, but I have to choose to love you. You don't always have to agree with each other on your perspectives or your choices, but you do need to love each other. That's how we put God on display, to have compassion, understanding, empathy, kindness. That's how we put God on display. When we're in town and we're engaging with the world, we're driving a car, we're having an order of coffee, whatever it is, you're at school, what are we displaying? Selfish success, agenda, serve me, entitlement. You know, youth, language like my teacher knows nothing. Right? I've heard you say it. It makes you sound unteachable. Adults, language like I deserve that position is questionable. Because if you earn it, you'd have it. Instead, you've been held back for a reason. And maybe you have earned it and you're going to argue with me after the service. And maybe the enemy is ripping you off. But I would just be checking that you are dressed for the occasion. Dressed for the position. Dressed for that. And so when your name is called, you are ready. Clothed with humility. Positioned to serve, doors will open. Humility puts you on the path to your purpose. Are you the person that needs to rattle off achievements to get noticed and ahead of life? Or could humility that you wear make up for the ways, lead you to the ways you couldn't have dreamed of? Could humility lead you to the ways and the dreams that you could not have dreamed of? What are you displaying? Are you caught up on who you were and limiting who you could be? Displaying Jesus instead of your resume, you are displaying in the Spirit position and authority in heavenly realms. Amen. Let me say that again. By displaying Jesus instead of your resume, you are displaying in the Spirit your position and authority in heavenly realms. Much more powerful than anything listed on your documents. Yeah. Partner humility with the authority from heaven and you become the dream employee, friend, spouse, friend. Somebody who serves with the confidence of heaven behind them. Look out. Humbly, but confident in the authority that is behind them, that defends them. When Jesus was talking to the disciples in Mark 10 about the greatness and what it looks like to be great, that verse said, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant." He is telling them that you need to be a servant and that you need to love. That the Son of God came to serve and not be served. And so what does living a life of service look like? Can I have the musicians come? What does living a life of service look like? It's caring for people. It's loving people. It's compassion. It's empathy. It's putting others before yourself. You know what serving is? It looks like this: looking for opportunity to serve, and not just simply waiting for something simple to happen and ticking it off your list. I let that car in, I am good to go. Joey, I fully helped a lady open her boot with full hands. Like, I am good, I do this. It is more than that. He died on the cross. I'm not going to compare it to opening the boot. Heavy, but reasonable to say. It looks like looking for opportunity to serve. Looking for ways to serve and sacrifice you and your time. You know, one of the scriptures that I live my life by and I try to filter is don't bring to the king that which costs you nothing. If it doesn't cost a little, if it doesn't make you a tiny bit late because you serve, if it doesn't hurt a little bit of the bank because you've blessed someone, if it doesn't make you wait longer in line, did it even cost you something to serve? If you can't get the mission or the vision for launching a playgroup because you'd rather just be home, I'm not condemning you, but I'm putting a seed of thought in your head. Do you have the eyes to see the vision and the mission of serving and reaching a city? This creative team, they don't just rock up at 9:28, 2 minutes before. They're here hours before and hours on a Tuesday night. It's a gift that costs them something to lead us who benefit from it, who usher us into the throne room of God through worship. Serving is a sacrifice, and he's worth it. That is the purpose we have been given. If you question why you're here, what is my purpose? What am I even supposed to do with my time? I'm telling you this morning that we are here. We have been commissioned and commanded to serve others. And the person beside you has been commissioned and commanded to serve you. We are here to serve one another. And I just feel like God is like, if I can just get my people to stop looking at themselves and look at each other through the eyes that I see you, we would have less war. We would have less relationship breakdown. We would have less conflict and pain. Because Jesus walked with the eyes of his Father and he saw people and he preferred people. Why would God put so much emphasis on serving people? It's because I think that he knew that we would wrestle with our pride and we would just have ruins if it wasn't dealt with. The greatest thing God ever did was to serve and love people, something changes when we do it, church. The greatest accomplishment of Jesus' life was serving. He was God, but he humbled himself even to death on the cross. You know, I know this guy. He was raised, he was born as from a peasant mother. He was raised with not much at all. By the 30 years old, he learned to trade and became a chippy or a carpenter. And by 33 years old, he became an itinerant preacher or an evangelist. And at that time, his friends turned away from him, and one friend betrayed him. And he found himself given to the enemy, where he was given a mock trial and he was crucified. He didn't have much in life. He didn't really have a family. He was pinned to the cross, and as he lay there on that cross, people were still gambling for his last earthly his possessions, his garments. They were still after him as he was pinned to the cross. We look at our own lives, and then we look at Jesus's, and I think we so often be like, I just want to be great. Why can't I have that? I need that. Jesus got to that stage, and he became, right now, 2,000 years later, the greatest of all time. And he didn't do that by partying with celebrities. All the kings in our nation, all the kings, celebrities, billionaires, all put together in one room, will never match the greatest of all time, Jesus. He started as a child of a peasant. He was betrayed and given over. He stood on the cross while they were still ruining him. He then was thrown in a tomb that someone just had pity on him and let him borrow. And today we still are talking about him, the greatest man of all time, our God. And he did it not by sleeping his way to the top. He did it by serving. Would you just stand this morning? Humbly he came. Humbly he came. Would you just close your eyes across this room? Father, I just pray for us today, Jesus, on this Palm Sunday, that your sacrifice is not taken lightly by us. Yes. That the way that you lived, we are not taking for granted. And so today, Jesus, we just pause for a moment. We consider the gift of life that you gave, Lord. And we look at your life as an example of humility. God, I just ask you to check our hearts across this room right now. Lord, where we are putting ourselves first, where we are have an agenda, where we are striving on our own. Father, I thank you, Lord, just pour revelation in our heart, Lord God, of transformation. Lord, what we need to lay down, what we need to submit to the cross today. Would you just show us, Lord, as we look to you right now in this moment, Lord, that we choose the gift of humility. We clothe ourselves with humility. And Father, when we do that, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that grace and favor comes over this room today, Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, as you just remind us, Lord, in this moment, Lord, of surrender. Come on, let's just lift our hands. If you just feel like I just need to surrender again, we're sorry, Lord. We're sorry, Lord. We want to lay it all down again. Father, where we fall short, Lord, where we forget who is boss, where we forget, Lord God, that you are God. You are King, Lord Jesus. And we put you back on the throne of our hearts. back on the throne of our decision-making, Lord. Lord, we ask you to teach us humility, Lord, that we serve our city, Lord, that we love where we live, Lord. Lord God, ask us, Jesus, ask us, Lord, to be humble before you right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just sing that, those beautiful words for a minute? Come on, these words are just written for this moment. Come on, tell him who he is.
Your name stands above.
Come on. Yes, it does, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, tell him who he is.
Your name stands above and more.
Your name, Lord.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name.
Come on, tell him, church.
Stands above and more.
City Coast today for the first time, and you're like, whoa, what is this? What am I feeling? Gosh, these words are just making sense in my heart today. You know, God doesn't make coincidences. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And so if you're in this room today, I believe that you're supposed to be here and that there is an invitation for you right now. And every Sunday what we do is we invite you to make a decision to be a Christian and to follow Christ. And these words we've just spoken about this morning is about the sacrifice that Christ has made for you so that you can be in relationship with your Father. And so it's a simple decision. It's saying, yep, I acknowledge that Jesus died for my sins, and yes, I want to live for him. I want to learn how to be humble. I want to learn how to be a child of God. I want to learn the grace and the mercy of my Father. And so as I look across this room, no one's looking except for our prayer partners. And if that is you, I want to invite you to slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying for in this room this morning. And you want to make a decision that all these things you're talking about in this Bible and this Jesus, it's starting to feel real to me. And this statement about humility, I need to do that. And so as I look across this room today, I ask that you would lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for now. Come on, lift up your hand. If that is you, I want to draw a line in the sand today. And I want to say that Jesus is the best way to live. That I choose Jesus this morning. Come on, lift your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you. I see a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is there more this morning? Is there more this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, for that one that gave their life to you today, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that the scripture says all of heaven celebrates for one family member coming home. All of heaven. And so today, Jesus, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that they would walk forward into relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, that they would learn to know you and know who they are, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, across this room today, Lord, that in our hearts we have that revelation. Humbly you came, and humbly we commit to come and love our city this week, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that one decision that we made today. Let's give him all the glory. Amazing. You made that decision. I'd love to invite you to head to the hub after the service. We'd love to give you a Bible and talk to you more about your relationship with God, because we don't expect you to do it on your own. We want to get around you as church family and celebrate, disciple you the best we can. We love you already. Awesome. Easter, next Sunday. It's also my birthday, Easter Sunday. So we are partying next Sunday, whether you like it or not, okay? If you are going away for Easter, be safe. We love you. Tune in online. Do your respects. No, just kidding. Have a great weekend. Otherwise, the rest of you, let's fill the house with our city. Okay, this week, fill the house with our city. Let's invite and serve and love. Love you so much. Let's go out praising God. Awesome.
sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan.